So we were in the middle of the sugya of, we did the Chavetz Chaim yesterday, we were in the middle of the sugya of Hana'a Balala the Mal Karcha, the person gets Hana'a incidentally. So we had this Machlokas Abaye and Rava, that if you're in a case where it's low Efshar, where it's not easily avoidable to get this Hana'a, but it's Mechavein, you're having Kavana for the Hana'a, so you're in Machlokas Abaye and Rava, whether that's Mutter or Asr within Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. Right, within Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, that a davar shein miskaven is generally asur because kavana doesn't really matter. So, do we say that it's asur or mutter? So, Rava would say that Rabbi Yehuda would say that it's that l'chumra over here. Abaye would say that if kavana doesn't really matter, so since it's not possible to avoid, so it's mutter. And Rava would say, no, we would never say that kavana doesn't matter l'kula. We would only say kavana doesn't matter l'chumra. So Rava would say that it's asur. So the Gemara tries to bring rayas one way or the other. So Abaye says, oh, I'll tell you my raya. The raya is the ma'isu with Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai. Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai used to be yoshev v'tzilo shel heichal. He would stand in the shade of the heichal, and he was dorish kolayom kulo. He was saying a drash, he was saying shir kolayom kulo. Now wait a second. That was a case of low efshar. It wasn't easily avoidable because they there was nowhere else to really gather together to say the shir. It's a, an Israeli summer and it's hot and no one could. There's no gathering place where people could sit for a long period of time except for in the shade. So they sat in the shade of the heichal, a big building. So that provided them the ability to say the shir. So it's low efshar, but it's clearly mechavein. They're sitting in the shade for a reason. They're sitting in the shade because they want shade, because they want to enjoy the shade. And you see that it's mutter. So Rabbi says, nah, that's hana'a shelo kederech. That's not the normal derech hana'a. Because when you build a building, how are you supposed to enjoy the building? What's the primary? When they built this building, so these walls are meant to give us hana'a by us being inside of these walls, by getting shelter from these walls. If we're getting hana'a from the outside, by enjoying the shade on the outside, or playing handball against the brick wall or something like that from the outside, that's shelo kederech hana'a. That's an unusual way of getting benefit. That's why it's mutter over there. It's not because that in general lo efshar v'kol mechavein is mutter. No, it's mutter in that case because you're not using the building in the normal way. So that's what was going on with the heichal, since it was a shelo kederech hana'a. Great, so that's why Rava wasn't convinced by Abaye's raya. So Rava says, okay, mina minalan chavav minalav. Rava says, how do I know that I'm right? How do I know that it's taka aser to get hana in a case where it's lo efshar v'kol mechavein? So Rava says, I know it from the brisa that describes how the repairman would get into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. When they would need to bring a repairman into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, so Kodesh HaKadoshim is a dangerous place. Even the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, when he would go in, if he wasn't Zocha, if he wasn't worthy, the Gemara says that he would drop dead in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So the Gemara says that's why there were so many different Kohanim Gadolim during the Tekufa of Bayi Sheni, because most of them were not worthy of being Kohanim Gadolim. So it wasn't a simple thing to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So how would a repairman go in? They have to repair it, clean it, I don't know, maintenance of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. How would they do that? So the Brisa says they would put the guy in a box, and they would lower the box in through the ceiling. They would have these lulim, these skylights in the ceiling. They would lower the guy in a box. Why did they have to put him in a box? Why couldn't he just rappel in with the thing, around his waist? Why does he have to be inside of a box? So the Brisa says, because you don't want his eyes to benefit from the beauty of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Because he's going to see, he's going to be nene from the beauty of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. That's going to be a problem.
How does he see what he's repairing?
So he has a little window, and he just sees that area. But if he sees the whole room, it's magnificent. So that's going to be something that he's going to really benefit from. So the Gemara says that, so you see, what's that a case of? It's low efshar, meaning if he were not in a box, it's low efshar, it's not easily avoidable, and it's mechavein, meaning obviously we're concerned he's going to see this room and he's going to be like, wow, this is amazing, and he's going to be mechavein to get that hana, and you see that it's asr, that we put him in a box for this reason. So Rava says, you see that it's asr when it's low efshar mechavein from that case. So the Gemara says, no, you can't bring a raya from that case at all. Why can't you bring a raya from that case at all? Because that's the Kodesh HaKadoshim. We have lots of chumras that are just for the Kodesh HaKadoshim, but it's not really the halacha in outside of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Ma'la asu b'Kodesh HaKadoshim. They made a special chumra dafka by the Kodesh HaKadoshim. How do you know that it was special chumra and that it wasn't the Ikar Adin? So they'll prove to you that it was special chumra. The isser of me'ila, of benefiting from Hagdish, right? That isser is not violated generally when you just see Hagdish. How do you violate Mi'ilah? You take a pan that belongs to Hagdish and you decide you're going to fry an egg for yourself in that pan. That's Mi'ilah. You're getting Hana from something that belongs to Hagdish. You take an animal that belongs to Hagdish and you decide to ride the animal or to shear the wool off a sheep, make yourself a nice coat out of it. That's Mi'ilah of Hagdish, where you're getting real substantial Hana. But says the Gemara, one second, says the Gemara, Kol, yeah, Hagdish, Beis HaMikdash, things that belong to the Beis HaMikdash. Hagdish, Beis HaMikdash, things that belong to the Beis HaMikdash. But says the Gemara, Kol, Umare, V'reach, Ein Beh Misham Mi'ilah. When the benefit that you get is simply from hearing sounds from Hagdish, from seeing beautiful sights of Hagdish, or from smelling delicious smells of Hagdish, that's not Mi'ilah anyway. So says Abaye to Rava, when they lowered him in the box, what were they worried about? Let's say he wasn't in the box. What would be the worst that would happen? That he would see the beauty of the Kodesh HaKodeshim? It doesn't matter. That's not Mi'ilah anyway. So why is it that they would put him in the box? It must be because it's a special chumrah that you have for Kodesh HaKodeshim. So don't prove to me that in the case of Lo Afshar V'Kol Mechavin it's Asr because they put him in a box. Nah, the whole Isser in the first place is only a chumrah over there because it's a chumrah by Kodesh HaKodeshim. You can't prove from that to anywhere else. But this theme, that Kol Mare V'Reach Im Bo Mishum Me'ilah, is what I wanted to focus on for a little bit. This idea that when we deal with sounds, we deal with sights, we deal with smells, that's not subject to Mi'ilah. Why is that not subject to Mi'ilah? Why is that not called an Isser of Mi'ilah of being Nena from Hagdish and we have to be in Karban?
What? Because
it's not tangible. There's no mamashes to it. The Gemara actually later goes on to say that maybe we made a mistake about that. Maybe it's only Kalu Mare that's in the Mishum Mi'ilah, but Reach does have Mi'ilah, because maybe Reach is a little more tangible than Kalu Mare. And the Gemara brings a raya to that idea, that maybe Reach is worse, because there's an Isser called being Mefatim Ketores. There's a cocktail of spices, of incense, that they would bring every day in the Beis HaMikdash, they would burn twice a day in the Beis HaMikdash, called Ketores, and we read it in the Karbanos every day, Pitama Ketores, right? We go through the ingredients of the Ketores. So there's an Isser to make the Ketores the way they made it in the Beis HaMikdash. So in a Braisa that discusses that Isser, the Braisa mentions that someone who's Mariach Bo, someone who smells the Ketores, is in violation of Mi'ilah. I thought Reach is no violation of Mi'ilah. How could you say it's Mi'ilah? So the Gemara actually changes it and says, no, Kolu Mara is Ein Bo Mishum Mi'ilah, but Reach is Yesh Bo Mishum Mi'ilah. Maybe with smells, there actually is a violation of Mi'ilah, just not with Kolu Mara. But anyway, Rava uses this as his source. In the second version of Rava, Rava actually uses that phrase, Kolu Mara Reach Ein Bo Mishum Mi'ilah, as his source that there's an Isser. That there's an Isser to smell something when it's Lo Afshar V'Kol Mechavin. How's it a source? Because Rava says, yeah, Ein Bo Mishum Mi'ilah. Kol Marav Reich, there's no Mi'ilah. What does that tell you? There's no Mi'ilah, but it's still Asr. Mi'ilah would mean that it's a very severe Isser, and that you'd have to bring a carbon for it. But even things that are not subject to Mi'ilah are still going to be Asr. Anyway, there's still going to be Asr because you're still not allowed to benefit from the Hagdish, even if it's not subject to Mi'ilah. Now, a couple of things about Kol Mara V'Reach over here. So first of all, he said that you're not allowed to benefit from the sights of the Hagdish. It's just not Mi'ilah, right? It's just not Mi'ilah, yeah?
Are you allowed to make something that's intangible? You have to make something that's intangible, not tangible. So it's, let's say, time, right? I'm giving 2 hours of my time to the base to make this, right? So let's say, right? So you have to make something that's something like that. That's, you know,
Hagdish. I don't think so.
So in that case, then why are you able to? Then why aren't you able to benefit for something that can't be made?
Because once something already is kadosh, so there now becomes an Isra Hana. So maybe that's called Hana. So it's a lower level Hana, but it's still called Hana on some level.
But if something that if we say that's something that's intangible cannot be, something that's not physical cannot be made hektish. So,
yes, I think it's a different geder.
When you have the ketores, you're not making the smell hektish, you're making
the actual chefza.
Yeah, chefza. So anything coming from the chefza should be considered a chefza, or since it's...
No, that's called hana from that chefza. That's called hana. Now, Tos raises an interesting question. Tos Dibur Maslan Me'ila, he says, you know, there's I think a fairly well-known Gemara at the very end of Masechah Sukkah. The Gemara describes at the end of Masechah Sukkah the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. You ever learn these Gemaras? At the end of Sukkah describes the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, how it went in the Beis HaMikdash. How there would be people juggling fire, and also it was wild, wild Simcha. And they had these gigantic menorahs, these candelabras that were lit in the Beis HaMikdash. And it provided so much light. There was so much oil in them, and and the wicks were so big. It provided so much light that the Braisa in Masechah Sukkah Daf Nun Gimel says, "Isha boreres chitim la'or shel Beis HaShoeva," that there was so much light that came from the Beis HaShoeva that even though it was night, a woman would be able to sift out her wheat from the dirt that got stuck in the wheat just using the light of the Beis HaShoeva. Meaning even these dachistic things, these very small things, any woman who lived in Yerushalayim, there's so much light emanating from the Beis HaMikdash at the time of the Beis HaShoeva that she'd be able to use it to do anything that required a great deal of light. So says Tosos, well, wait a second, what's going on over there? She's using the light of the Beis HaMikdash. Isn't that a violation? What?
It's called a mechavim because the light's not there.
Well, but she's using it and purposely using it. Why not? You're using light in the normal way.
I'm saying, but the light's not there for that purpose.
So the Yerushalmi says from there. So you see, called marav reichim b'mishum meila, that it's not a violation of meila marav. But our Gemara says that it's not a violation of meila, but isura ika. It's still an iser. It's a major kasha. On our Gemara, how can we say that it's an Isser? What about the Gemara in Sukkah that she used Bareres Chitim? So, Tosos Masechah Sukkah asked the Kasha also. And Tosos says, what do you think the point of that Gemara is? What's the Gemara in Sukkah really trying to tell us when it tells us that a woman is Bareres Chitim from the Ard of Beis HaShoeva? What's the Gemara trying to teach us? What's the Gemara trying to say? What point is it trying to make? Is it trying to teach us a Din in Hilchos Borer in Shabbos? Is it trying to tell us a Musar? Is it trying to make an impression? What's the Gemara trying to do over there? No, what's the Gemara trying to do? It's obviously not trying to teach us the halach of Bor. Is it trying to teach us the din of Me'ila? It's not trying to teach us that either. What's the Gemara trying to do? It's not trying to teach us any din. The Gemara is trying to tell us how amazing the Beis HaMikdash was at the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. How amazing was it? There was so much light that you could do these tiny little tasks using the light of the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. It's not saying that people actually did that, that a woman was actually mevareres chitim. It's just describing how much light it was. So it's saying it was so much light that they could have, if they wanted to, they could have been mevareres chitim with the art of the Beis HaShoeva. Now, that's the approach of Tosos and the Ritva in Masechah Sukkah. The second approach, the Maram Chalava, is Metaretz, that since it's only an Isser Drabbanan, when we say it's not Mi'ila, but Isura Mi'a'ika, well, what Isser is it if it's not Mi'ila? It must be that it's only an Isser Drabbanan. And we're allowed to use this light for the sake of Simcha B'Alma, meaning it's not really the Tzarech Gavoh when we use light. They're using the light in the Beis HaMikdash for the Simcha's Beis HaShoeva. That's just Simcha B'Alma. So once they allow the usage of that light for something less than Tzarech Gavoh, for Simcha B'Alma, the Mela, they allow the use of that light, the Tzarech Hedyot as well, for everybody else as well. So that's the second approach. A third approach is suggested by the Sfas Emes. The Sfas Emes writes that when the Gemara says Kol Mar V'Reich Ein Bo Mishum Ila Isura Mia Ika, that's talking about the person himself who's doing the Maisa to make the light, to benefit from the light. The guy who's Madlik the Ner. So for him to benefit from the light, he was madlik, that's awesome. But someone who's totally on the outside, who has no connection really to that light, and just happens to to be in the neighborhood and get hana from that light, that would not be included in this Isser Midrabbana. That's how the Sfasemes suggests. Now, as we pointed out, Tosfos quotes from the Yerushalmi, but the Yerushalmi says, no, the fact that a woman would be Mevarer Skitim is a Raya, that called Marvarechim Ben Mishamila. So the Yerushalmi apparently understands that they actually were Mevarer Skitim, right, against what Tosfos says. What Tosfos says in Masechta Sukkah. So it sounds that they actually were Mevarer the Chitim using the light of the Simchas, Beis Shueva. So it turns out that Tosfos is against the Yerushalmi. That's the Pasha Pshat, at least. That Tosfos L'chor just goes against Yerushalmi. But I found an interesting Shaila as follows. In the back of the Masifta, in the Panini Halacha section of the Masifta, he has the following discussion. Beis Yosef writes in the name of Rabbeinu Yeruchim, in Yoredeya Simen Kuf Mem Beis, Beis Yosef writes in the name of Rabbeinu Yeruchim, that it's asu l'shmoa kol klei shir shal avodah zarah, ol l'histakel b'noy avodah zarah. You're not allowed to hear church music of avodah zarah, and you're not allowed to look at the beauty of avodah zarah. You know, some of the finest architecture in the world is church architecture. So people build the base of avodah zarah. So are you allowed to get hana from avodah zarah? So the Beis Yosef quotes this from Rabbi Yeruchim that it's aser, and he learns it from Rabbi Shimon Pazi in our sugya. Because what did it say? Kol marvareach shel hagdish, even though it's not mi'ila, but misura mi'ika, it's still aser. So what do you see? That enjoying the sounds and the sights of things is called hana. It's just not the highest form of hana that it would be a violation of mi'ila. But it is, on some level, it is called Hana'ah. So, l'chora, on the flip side, when we deal with Avodah Zarah, the issue of getting Hana'ah from Avodah Zarah, so to hear the sounds of Avodah Zarah, to see the sights of Avodah Zarah, would be Asr, that would be called, and certainly to smell the smells of Avodah Zarah, that would be Asr, that would be called Hana'ah. So, Minchas Elazar has the following shayla. He says, you know, it's very common that a church will have on the top of the building, steeple, I don't know that. First of all, they have a bell very often, but often the bell is connected to a clock, and the church is often the highest building in the city, right? Certainly in old cities, that's the way they built it. So if you wanted to know what time it was, what would you do? You just look up. The church is always visible, and you could see the church clock. Is that a violation of getting hana'a from the mara of Avodah Zarah, from seeing Avodah Zarah? To look at the clock on the top of a church. So Minchas Elazar says that first thing you have to discuss is Christianity Avodah Zarah? So he says, yes, it is. Okay.
A clarification on one thing. We're talking about when somebody sees the beauty of the church, let's say, right? They get to know from it. You're seeing the physical chesed of Avodah Zarah, right? Or when you hear the music of a church.
So the church, it's not so pashut actually. The cheftza of Avodah Zarah is not really a cheftza. There is no cheftza of Avodah Zarah. Meaning they're worshipping a trinity, right? Which is not the church. The church is what... And the church doesn't even necessarily house the Avodah Zarah. Because it's not like there's a getchka, you know, like there's an idol. It's not like there's a Buddha or whatever inside the church. It's just a place where they gather to do Avodah Zarah. So it is a little bit different. I once got a phone call from a friend of mine who lives in Cedarhurst, a very close friend of mine who lives in Cedarhurst, and he told me that that he was talking to Rabbi Spiegel from the Shul in Cedarhurst, and Rabbi Spiegel wanted Rav Schechter's phone number. He needed Rav Schechter's phone number. Why does Rabbi Spiegel need Rav Schechter's phone number? Because he had heard that that the Pittsburgh Rebbe, Rabbi Spiegel's brother-in-law, the Pittsburgh Rebbe was approached by a woman from Los Angeles with the following shayla. The woman was chosen from a group of architects to be the lead architect on the church that Mel Gibson was building. Mel Gibson, after the movie The Passion, got very religious, whatever, and he wanted to build a church. And this woman, this Jewish woman, was chosen to be the lead architect on the project. So the Pittsburgh Rebbe was discussing with Rabbi Spiegel. Rabbi Spiegel said, I know just who will know all about this, and why you they know all about Avodah Zarah, so we'll ask Rav Shechter. He didn't say that, I made that part up, but he said we should ask Rav Shechter. So he wants Rav Shechter's phone number. So I said, okay, that's interesting, so I think that, you know, that would be a good one. So I gave him Rav Shechter's phone number. I don't know if he ever called him, but I remember asking Rav Shechter what he thought about it. And he thought that it would not be an issue. He thought that it would be permissible. Because he said the church does not house an Avodah Zarah, so it's not really technically a base of Avodah Zarah. It's a place where people get together to do Avodah Zarah. But the church itself is not the Avodah Zarah at all, and all you are is a Messiah to help them make the building. You know, you're not worshipping or anything like that. So he thought that in that case it might be mutter. You may want to question whether that's what you want to be doing professionally, you know, building churches, but that was what he thought. So Minchas Lazi discusses, so again, it's a multifaceted shaila, because he's discussing getting hana'ah from the church building. Now, if you hold the Rav Shechter L'chora, then there's no issue whatsoever. What do you mean? Seeing the clock on top of the church and getting hana'ah because now you know what time it is by looking at the clock on top of the church? What are you getting hana'ah from? That's hana'ah from Avodah Zarah? That's not the Avodah Zarah. It happens to be, it really may depend on the Christian community that you're dealing with. It depends how much they know about their own theology. Meaning in some of the less educated crowds, they believe that they actually are worshiping the crucifix. So they'll have the cross in the church with Yashka hanging from the cross, and they'll think, if they don't understand their own theology, they'll often think that they're actually worshiping that. Then it becomes an Avodah Zarah. So, like, for instance, in a hospital sometimes, you have hospitals are associated with religions very often. I always wondered about that, why that's so. Why it's, Long Island Jewish, you know, Mount Sinai, why all the hospitals are affiliated with religion. Saint this, saint that, everything's. So the reason that, do you know the reason for that? That many years ago, there were hospitals that refused to treat Jews and refused to treat, different people of different religions. They would only treat their co-religionists. So they had to. Every religion had to start their own hospitals because they were refused treatment by other religions. So anyway, many of the hospitals that have that are Catholic hospitals, Christian hospitals, they'll have a cross in every room, right? In St. John's Hospital or whatever, they'll have a cross in every room. So the question is, can you say a bracha in such a room? Can you say a bracha in front of an Avodah Zarah? So Rav Shechter thought that it really depends on what kind of neighborhood it's in. It's in a very, I don't know what the proper word to use, but a neighborhood where people are not very educated, so then there's a very good chance that a lot of the people there think that those crosses on the walls are the objects of worship, and not just symbolic of something that they worship toward. They think that that itself is something that they worship, and therefore mele it's an Avodah Zarah. Whereas if it's in a more upper class kind of area where people are a little more educated and they know that they're not bowing to the cross, they know that there's that they're worshiping something else, and the cross is merely a symbol, so then it would not be an Avodah Zarah. So it's a very fascinating shaylah. Minchas Elazar is talking about this, the clock on top of the church. So first of all, he says clearly, in terms of whether it's Avodah Zarah, Christianity is definitely Avodah Zarah. He says, and the base teflasam has a din of a base Avodah Zarah. And you're not allowed to benefit from the mara of Avodah Zarah, from seeing an Avodah Zarah. So he says, but, the whole world is always no ikater on this. Everyone always looks at the church clocks. That was apparently a common thing to do, to find out what time it is. And says Minchas Elazar, lo shamanu mei medaktikim sheidaktiku liyizar, shelo listakel b'sha'on ha'ir. We never heard of anybody who was careful not to look at the clock of the city that's on top of the church, even though it's l'chora noya Avodah Zarah. So it's like being nana from the noya Avodah Zarah, from the Meshamshei Avodah Zarah. So again, that's assuming that that's called Meshamshei Avodah Zarah, but Minchas Elazar works with that assumption, that it's called Meshamshei Avodah Zarah. So he says maybe the heter can be explained based on what the Rama writes in Yordei Simon Kuf Nun. The Rama, based on the Trumas Hadeshin, Kuf Tzadi Zayin, writes that if a priest, let's say, has a cross on his clothing, or they carry around a cross, like they often do, you know, so you're not allowed to bow to them or to remove your hat as a sign of respect to them, because if it's because then it looks like you're bowing to what they have. So the Rama quotes Rabbeinu Yitzchak Me Oppenheim, quote in the Trumas Hadashan, that allows bowing and removing the hat, because it's Yadua Shegama Nachrim Einem Asir Makovo Meshtachlim Metzuras Hashasivariv, because everyone knows that even the Goyim don't bow or remove their hat to the cross; they only do it to the person wearing the cross. So the Ikra Kavod is not to the cross; it's for the person wearing it. So says the Minchas Lazer, maybe the same thing is with the clock, that we know that it's not that the idea of the clock has nothing to do with the Avodah Zarah. They just, why do they put the clock on top of the church? Because they want the clock to be in the most visible place in the entire city. Where's the most visible place in the entire city? The highest place in the city. Where's the highest place in the city? The church. That's why the clock is there. So it's so incidental to the church. It's not a noy avodah zarah. It's something that has a totally different meaning to it than the avodah zarah. It's not really even connected in a real way. It's physically connected to the avodah zarah, but in any meaningful way, it's not connected to the avodah zarah, and therefore maybe it's mutter. However, the Rama himself concludes in the case of bowing to the guy who's wearing the cross that it's tov lahachmir kisvara rishona not to bow to the guy who's wearing the cross. So says the Minchas Elazar, if that's the case, maybe we should be machmir. However, but again, over here, there's more reason to be mekel. Minchas Yitzchak points this out, and we pointed out before, is that the cross, the clock is not even noiv to the avodah zarah itself. It's noy to the bias that's only tashmishe avodah zarah, because no one is mishtachavet to the church itself. No one is mishtachavet to the bias. So a bias that's not actually nevad is not usher for any other reason than being tashmishe. So a noy for tashmishe avodah zarah, it's a big stretch to say that something that might be a noy for tashmishe avodah zarah, but more likely is just there as a way of putting something in the highest place in the city. Very hard to call that an issur, but again, this is an example of mare when it comes to avodah zarah, or where the mare is subject was called a legitimate form of hana. Okay.
What about